welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I haven't got very long. And I want to give you a demonstration this morning of how we walk with God. Okay? Because there are two things I want to share with you. One is a major thing, one is a minor thing. And then we're going to do what you do in response to these kind of situations. Is that all right? There are other things. I'm just focusing on two. We've had a great time at Faith Camp, but also this week was, for us as a church, it was a time of sadness as well. Because if you haven't heard the news, David went to be with the Lord this week, which obviously is devastating news, really. He's a young man. He's about my age. And that wasn't what God had planned for him. I firmly believe that. We saw him wonderfully saved. It was beautiful to see him saved and completely set free. But sadly, through circumstances which I'm not going into because that's his private life, he was led back to it. And ultimately, it led to what happened this week. And it is. It's desperately, desperately sad. And it's not what we want for him. It's not what we want for his family. But we will celebrate that we had the privilege of knowing him. That we had the privilege of coming to know a very precious man, actually. Who had a heart of gold and was wanting to serve and wanting to do things. And as a warning to us as well. About keeping on the path with God. I know that's a sort of a serious thing to say, but it would be silly not to say it, wouldn't it? His funeral's this week. It's at 13:20, 20 past one, on Thursday, up at the Woodlands Crematorium. So if you're able to be there, it would be good to there to honour his name and to love his family as well, to just show our support to them. Praise God. So what do you do when things happen that you know it's no good? We can't dress it up. That wasn't God's plan. Okay? And don't try and tell me it was. I know God will do good from it because God does good from all things. And I don't know what that is yet. And the other thing, the minor thing, which relates into it, and I wouldn't normally share this, and it's really I just feel the Holy Spirit mentioning it. Because he wants to tie it in with the major thing, which is David. And that is, this morning, I really didn't want to come to church because I was feeling so ill. It came on that Thursday at Faith Camp, and it was okay. But, you know, you live with these sort of things. And then by last night, it was like, oh, this hurts. It's just like a stomach pain thing. It will pass. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. So what do you do in these situations when you're in them? You know, my life at the moment is a denial of the stripes of Jesus that heals us. What's happened to David is a denial, really, of what we would expect to see for a man walking with God. Well, this is what you do. Right, Acts chapter 4. I think it's chapter 4. No, sorry, I mean started in chapter 19. Get myself straight here. Chapter 19, verse 11. We read the truth. God worked amazing miracles through Paul. You know, I always wanted my name to mean something. It always used to annoy me, you know. People have these wonderful names that mean things like pure or righteous or strong or bold or brave or holy or beautiful or whatever. Or kingly, or whatever, these great names. And in every name book I could ever find, if you look up what does Paul mean, all it means is small. You know, I used to think one day I'm going to find a name book that has found the secret meaning of Paul. And every book you get to it, you know, and some names they have long lists of where this name came from and stuff. But nearly, and what it means and why it's great even to name your child over that. But, you know, you turn to the page which has got all the PAs, and you fold your finger down, and time after again, you got Paul, colon, small, next name. That's it. But every now and then, when you read a passage like that, you think, that's a good passage. It's a good name. So God worked amazing miracles through Paul. I know it's written about St. Paul, but it's also written about me. But it's also written about you. Amen? It says that when handkerchiefs or cloths were laid on, that he had touched were laid on the sick, they were healed of their diseases and set free from demonic oppression. I want you to know that Jesus never did that. Because some people sometimes get a little bit het up by the style of things and they say, is that in the Bible? You know, no, not every specific thing is in the Bible. This is not in the Bible, but I don't believe a mobile phone to be of the devil. It's a wonderful communication tool. It can ruin your life if you allow it to, if you get addicted to it and you spend all your days on Facebook. On the other hand, if you use Facebook wisely, it's an amazing tool for bringing a church together. I love the fact that as we're working down at the summit and we're painting and we're decorating, you know, different people are putting up photographs. This is what I did today. I like the one of my favorites is of Chris, where he's turning an orange wall with blue. With the blue, it was the first one. There's like a wall at the summit, you know, it will be Chris's wall. Yeah, he did the first two coats and he had to go, so I thought, oh, I'll do the third. I hadn't realized how hard he'd worked until I did the third coat. By the time I got to the end, it was like, he's a lot fitter than he looks, I tell you. He's a lot fitter than me. But that'd be Chris's wall now. That's your wall, mate, because you turned that wall blue from a horrible, ugly, dirty orange. But so Facebook's like that, really. It could be, people can get addicted to it. They can end up revealing stupid amounts of personal information on it and putting themselves at risk. Or it can just be a tool for keeping communication, sharing photographs with one another. It's actually, you know, church is about community, and it's a great way to just share our lives with one another. Use sensibly, it's fine. Use badly, it will lead to trouble. Even alcohol. You use it badly, it leads to death. You use it well, it's fine. Paul, I'll just dance to that, shall I? Paul actually said to Timothy when he had an upset stomach, take a little wine for your stomach. You know, and wine was the normal drink of the day because the water was tended to be unhealthy for them. It's not that alcohol is bad, but if you keep drinking it, it's going to be very bad for your health. And others believe that I'm not going to drink anything. And if you believe that, that's absolutely fine. You know, it's not something we need to make a huge, huge stand on. What we need to make a huge, huge stand on is the abuse of it. And we do something about it, not by standing up and sort of condemning people who are in that situation. We try and think, well, what can we do that's a positive response? So street angels, obviously, is one of our positive responses to helping people. Youth angels works with young people to try and prevent them from getting into that situation or rescue them from that situation if they're already Friday night drinking. Anyway, what do we do? We get out the word of God and we preach the opposite of the circumstances that are around us, because the truth changes reality. Okay, let's go somewhere else. This was a passage. This was one I just happened to share in one of the 8 o'clocks at Faith Camp. That's why Chris said he enjoyed the 8 o'clocks. God bless him. It's because Kingdom Faith Yorkshire did those ones. We did. We had some great mornings together. Let's have a look at Acts 5, verse 15. I like this. I'm reading from the Truth Version. Because of the apostles' reputation, people brought the sick and laid them on mattresses and beds in the street, hoping that even Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he walked along. Crowds came from the towns and villages surrounding Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those in bondage to evil spirits, and all of them were healed. This is our message.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we will not retreat from it in the face of any circumstances.
Amen.
We are in a battle. Yeah. We are to expect resistance. I can't remember who it was. It's one of the leaders at Faith Camp was talking to me about an ex-SAS commander who became Christian. And he didn't leave the SAS to begin with, for quite some time, because God told him not to. He felt that God wanted him in that position of influence. He was leading it. And so, this leader, I really can't remember which one it was, but he was talking to him, and he was talking to this guy, and I know who it was Carl Beach that leads Christian Vision for Men. And Carl is a great guy. He's really building up men in the nation. He's taken this tiny little ministry, really, that concentrated on small groups, and he's turning it into something that's national and international. It's a great ministry, and he's doing a great work, and he was there to talk at some of the seminars. And anyway, I was talking to him, and this guy said to him, "So what's the basic message that you've got?" And he said, "Well, we're training men to be warriors, fighters, to stand up strong and take the battle." And he said, "Well, you're going to lose then." And Carl was quite shocked, because he thought this guy would say, "Yeah." And he said, "No." And he had a word for it, and I wasn't intending to speak on this. I haven't gone back and remembered, and I can't remember what the word was. But what he talked about was the preparation for the battle. And he was saying how the SAS, they were trained so that they could be within 4 feet of you, and you wouldn't know it. You know, out in the wilds, they'll sneak up very, very close and observe and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for the right moment for the battle. And time again, the enemy, if you like, has absolutely no idea that the battle is about to be unleashed on them, and yet the enemy is just by the side of them. And what he said was that men, and it would apply to women because we're all here, he said it's no good telling them that they're warriors if they're not ready to wait in the mud and going through every discomfort waiting for the call from the commander-in-chief to go. I mean, it was powerful. I found it really... this SAS commander was saying, if you want people to be warriors, they've got to be prepared to be uncomfortable. He said, and the reason that the church isn't changing a nation is not that God doesn't want to. It's not that God isn't working miracles. He said that basically men, as he was talking about, men don't want to be uncomfortable. He said, and so you're waiting there in some position. He said, and there might be a leech sucking blood from your face. You leave it because you're waiting for the battle. He said, and excuse me for this in the middle of a preach, but I think I will say it. He said, if you need the toilet, you go. But you don't move. You just wait for the battle. He said, and every form in the training for that position, every form of comfort has to be stripped away so that you can stand without your comforts or hide without your comforts. And he said, so it's no good, Carl, just training people and telling them that they're warriors if they're not prepared to be battle ready and be waiting for the battle. Isn't that good? Because we are in a real battle. There is a real enemy that comes against us. And I'm not somebody that sees devils and demons behind every bush. But it is a reality that there is a force of darkness and a force of light. The light totally overcomes the darkness. But the light has chosen, God, Jesus Christ, has chosen to work through us. And so the enemy can know, he can send some of us off on out of the battle just because our television stopped working. Or because the fridge switched off and the milk's gone off. Can't he? I'm talking personally, you know, and I thought this is a real challenge to us. How uncomfortable are we prepared to be and yet still say, I'm following you, Jesus? Things are going to happen to all of us, and we've got to know, I'm following you, Jesus. If the law in this land changed back to the first century and said all believers are going to be thrown to the lions, would you still be a believer? If they came and took your children and said, we're throwing them to the lions, and they did, and your children died, would you still be a believer? What do we do when circumstances come against us? We dig ourselves into God's word. And we say, this is the truth. And this may have been a bad day, or even a bad week. But the sun's shining on tomorrow. Amen. Because of the apostles' reputation, people brought the sick. I just find that so exciting. I want a church that's got a reputation that people go to find Jesus. To find healing. If healing is what brings people through the door and then brings them into the freedom of knowing the healer, let's go for it. That's what was happening here. It doesn't say that people came to hear about Jesus at all at this point. It just says they came for their healing. Yeah. And if 3,000 people get healed and only 300 give their lives to Jesus, it's still wow. Yeah. If it's only 30 people give their lives to Jesus, we'll still be rejoicing. If only 3 people give their lives to Jesus, I guess we'll be a bit disappointed, but we'll still be rejoicing for the 3 that have come into the fullness, even while 2,997 are yet not quite there. But it needs a people who are prepared to be uncomfortable despite the physical circumstances. Amen? Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm not being too harsh, am I? That's good, thank you. People brought the sick and laid them. It's interesting, I've often wondered why it says on mattresses and beds or whatever translation you've got, it's got one and another. Couches and pallets, it says in some. And only today, when I was praying through, Lord, what am I going to do this morning? Because I wasn't even intending to speak. I thought we'll have enough testimonies. We'll just have a load of testimonies this morning. Celebrate what you did at Faith Camp. And he said, no, you're to preach healing this morning. And as I was just reading about this, I found out that mattresses and beds, they're two different words. One means the beds of the rich and one means the beds of the poor. It's sort of couches and pallets. Isn't that exciting? The rich and the poor came to get healed. And that's what I want to see. From the poorest, most needy person to the richest, most needy person. Hallelujah. God is here for everyone.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Healing. Crowds came. And I believe this is what, this word was actually all part of a prophetic word spoken over us. And I believe it's, we're going to see this coming into fulfillment in our new building. This is probably the last month we meet here. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I don't know about you.
Amen.
September the 2nd, it's a bit of a tight time. Maybe it'll be the week after, but we'll go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. September the 2nd would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
September, of course, is our birthday munch. Yes. Birthday month. That's when we started back again in Scarborough in 2007. So it'll be 5 years. We'll be 5-year-olds going off to school. Oh, they go earlier these days. But there you go. Crowds came from the towns and villages surrounding Jerusalem. And I believe we're going to see this, that people will come from the towns and villages, bringing their sick and those in bondage and all. Now, this is what grabbed me at Faith Camp. It gets me again and again and again. Because we're not seeing this. And that's why I'm preaching it this morning, because I'm not one of the all at the moment. As I stand here, it's quite painful. And all of them were healed. All of them. All of them. Fantastic. All of them were healed. And so in Scarborough, Lord, crowds came from the towns and villages surrounding Scarborough, bringing their sick and those in bondage to the summit. And all of them were healed. That's what this whole darkness light thing is. That I did here and I did at Faith Camp. Father, let us have this reputation. Now, I'm going to finish really quick because his time. But I just want to address one final thing, as we do. One thing that you can get in your head as you read this is that first line. Here it says, because of the apostles' reputation. And so you start to think, yeah, well, it was the apostles. Not me. Not just me. It was the apostles' reputation. Now you need to understand that because there was a culture of honor of the leaders, that's the way it's written. So some people might refer to this church as Paul's church. It's not my church. It's ours in a sense, but really it belongs to Jesus and we're sharing it with him. But you could call it Paul's church to honor me as a leader, couldn't you? And that's what's going on here. They're honoring the apostles and saying because of the apostles' reputation. It doesn't mean that only the apostles were seeing miracles. We know that not to be so because of the appointment of the deacons and the miracles they saw. But there's also one much more important phrase that means it's not just the big shots. It's about every single person. And this is what we're just going to finish with. It's in John, and you probably know it very well, many of you. Some of you may have never heard it before. And if you never heard it before, or you never heard it in this way before, and anyway, for all of us, let's just pray God gives us some revelation on this this morning. You're doing that by faith at the moment because I haven't told you what it is yet, but it's in here, so it's good. It's in John 14. I wonder if anybody's guessed yet. I'm going to go from verse 12. So you were close, Brian. I tell you the truth. Now in the Greek it says, Amen, Amen. It's a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew word, Amen. It means this is the truth, so be it. I tell you the truth. Anyone. Okay. Not apostles. Well, yes, because they're anyone. Not just prophets. Not just church leaders. Not just the youth leader. I tell you the truth. Anyone who puts his faith in me will do the same things that I have been doing. He will be able to do even greater things than these. Come on, that's a wow. That really is in here. Jesus has been doing all these incredible miracles. There are other stories in here where it says, and everyone that came and all were healed. Okay, there's only a certain number of miracles that are fully documented, and they're documented so that we can learn from them. But there were many occasions where they were just all healed. You will be able to do even greater things than these because of what will happen when I return to the Father. It's a Greek word that's the word greater, but it's a word that you know, it's a word you've heard used. You may even think it's slang. It's mega. And people say mega, they're actually just saying, they're just using ancient Greek. Yes. Mega or megas or various endings. Greek's not quite, all the endings change all the time. And then it's the beginning, the mega bit that stays the same. What does mega actually mean? It means exactly what you think it means. Here's a list of words of how it's used in the Bible. Very big, exceedingly, greater, higher, larger, louder, stronger, mightier, of greater weight, of greater cost, of greater importance. It's used of an earthquake, of a windstorm, of hail. It's great in force and intensity and effect. It's figuratively used as affecting the mind and emotions for great joy, great ecstasy, and great admiration. So Jesus says, you, because you're in anyone, will be able to do things that I have been doing and also things that are bigger, exceedingly bigger, greater, higher, larger, louder, stronger, mightier, weightier, more costly, more important, like an earthquake, like a windstorm, like fail, with great force, with great intensity, with great effect, that will lead to great joy, great ecstasy, and even admiration. And Jesus says, you will do that, and you'll do it better than I've been doing it. Amen. That is wow. Yeah. how small we look at things sometimes when we realize, and then we get back to what Jesus actually said, and it's all. And he says, because this, of course, is impossible for you to do, even though you are anyone. And he just then says, and I give you this promise. I will do whatever you ask in my name. And in this way, the Son will bring further glory to the Father. It's not that he only wants you to pray and ask the big prayer very rarely, because he says, when you do this, my Father is glorified. How is the Father glorified? Because your prayers are answered. What do we do when circumstances come against us? We get back into the Word and we pronounce the Word and we proclaim the Word until the circumstances change. What do we do when things happen to us that upset us, make us miserable, make us unhappy or unexpected? We get back into the Word and we seek Jesus and we pray and we declare the Word and we see those things change. Yes, and we receive encouragement and uplifting and moving more into our purpose. Sometimes we're walking along like this and smack, something comes in from the side that we just were not expecting. There will be two results. One, you will overcome and carry straight on in the same way. Or two, it will knock you off onto the course that you were supposed to have been following, and it was the only way God could get your attention. So try and listen. Hallelujah. So we're to ask. The word ask is a lovely word. It means like a child asking a parent. In other words, the child has no power in his or herself to achieve what the parent can do for them. And it's just like we are with God. We are a child. What we're asking for is totally and completely beyond our ability to get hold of or take hold of or see. But the parent, our father, our dad, he can do it just like that. Amen. So the child asks the father. So we are asking for things that are impossible. We're supposed to be asking for impossible things. It's not that when we ask for impossible things, it's like, if you're not too busy, I hope you don't mind this, God, but I'm going to be a little bit outrageous with this request. But I've got this friend who needs healing, and I hope you're not too busy, and I know Monday's your day off, but no, he wants you to be there. Yes, come on, my child. Yes, let's see that release. That's a good prayer request. I like that one. You know, God loves it when we're asking in his name. In his name means according to his will, the way he would want it. You know, it's probably no good asking for 10 brand new Ferraris. All right? It probably isn't. It's probably not going to happen because you want it for your glory. Oh, but God, it would look so good with 10 Ferraris parked on my front drive. You've got a big front drive. It would look great with 10 Ferraris parked out there and all the glory would go to you. No, it wouldn't go to you. Probably. It's not to say you can't be wealthy, because you can be. But only certain of us can be. Because most of us, we wouldn't be able to cope with it. It would take us away from God. Why doesn't God give you £1 million today? Because you wouldn't be prepared to give it away tomorrow. I wouldn't. I think it would just corrupt me. I might even stop doing what God's called me to do, because I could just take it easy. And I really don't want to take it easy. I really want to fulfill the purpose and call on my life. I really am prepared to be uncomfortable. I think still that word from that SAS commander is an incredible challenge, because suddenly every uncomfortable thing you've been through seems nothing. Wow, we even had an electric shower in a caravan at Faith Camp this year, so even that was comfortable. We were blessed. Ron was in a tent, but God has a greater spiritual work to do in some of us. So we had electric showers. Those of us who are more humble, we're already there. I don't think that works really. But hallelujah. Whatever you ask in my name, so that you can bring glory to God. Yes, you can ask me for anything in my name. He has to repeat it because he knows. Why does he say, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, as it says in the King James, or here, as I tell you the truth? Why does he say it? Because he knows it's going to be so difficult to actually believe this. Because it is. But it's true nonetheless. And actually the faith that you need is just that ask word. Just the child asking her dad. When the dad absolutely loves that child with perfection. Why would any father, you know, if he's got the capacity, you know, say a six-year-old has got measles and her father has the cure for measles, would the father, and he's a genuine loving father, would a genuine loving father say, I think actually it's good for you to have the measles? Really? Would any good loving father make their children sick to teach them something? That's child abuse. You really think that God would do that to us? Now, turn that around. Will God, if you are sick, will God use it for good? Oh, yes, absolutely. And this is why sometimes people get confused and think that all suffering is good. There's suffering for the gospel, uncomfortableness, of which sickness isn't one. Because that belonged, to go back to an old message, to the family of darkness. And you're now transferred, adopted into the family of light. Amen. So that's not part of your inheritance. So God doesn't want you to be sick to teach you something, but when you are sick, he's so amazing that he will enable you to learn great things about overcoming, persistence. So nothing is a waste of time that we go through. He uses everything for our good and for the good of others as well. Awesome. What do we do when things are stacked against us or there's bad news? We get back into the good news. The very last bit that I'm going to do is here, because this kind of obedience, this kind of asking, it's actually impossible. We can't do it. But Jesus has the answer for that, and he goes straight into it. The evidence that you love me will be seen in the way you obey what I command you to do. So what has he just commanded them to do? Miracles and wonders and signs greater than he did. That's what he's actually just said. Now, I know there's a walk of holiness, and that's right, and we need to do everything that Jesus has commanded us to do. But look at the context of when he says, the evidence that you love me will be seen in the way you obey what I command you. And he's just said to them, put your faith in me and go and do greater things than I've been doing. Wow. His disobedience thing is tougher than you thought. You've got to do miracles. You are commanded to heal the sick, release miracles, and do signs and wonders. Not maybe it's just for some special people. You have been commanded to go and do it. Not just the apostles' reputation. It's just the apostles. It was just the first century thing. No, this is addressed to anyone. I command you. And I command you to ask of me anything that you desire in my name, so that I can give it to you, so that the Father will get glory. Totally impossible. But here he goes. To enable this obedience. Straight after I command you what to do. To enable this obedience, when I return to heaven, I will ask the Father to replace me with another counselor exactly like me, who will remain with you forever. He is the Spirit of Truth. We don't have time to read on, but he gives some more examples of the Holy Spirit. He has commanded us to heal the sick. He has commanded us to work miracles. He fed 5,000. He says, you can do greater things. He turned water into wine. That's one of those bizarre ones we all laugh about. He says, you can do greater things. He walked on water. The only time I walked on water was on Lake Galilee. Unfortunately, I was in a boat. But I was on the water and I was walking. But Jesus actually walked on the water. That's one of those woo-woo-woo-woo miracles. And yet Jesus says, you will do greater things than what I've just been doing. And the Greek word he means, he literally does mean the things you have seen me doing. You will do things like these. Oh, and then you'll do greater things. And not only that, but he commands us. I mean, maybe you'll be down South Bay practicing this afternoon, I know. Stroll out on the North Sea. None of what we do will be useless or facile or entertaining. It all has purpose. It will declare God's name. So it probably won't work if you step off the harbour and expect to walk across to the spa. But maybe it would, I don't know. I don't recommend it. We don't want the lifeboats out this afternoon. But he does command us to do greater things. And the only way we can do the greater things is to be full of the Spirit. I will replace me, because I'm going, with a counselor who's exactly like me, who will remain with you forever. Well, he went back, and the Holy Spirit has come. Hallelujah. And we are, if you're a believer, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. And we have to get into the Word, because that's how we're constantly refilled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can do what he's commanded us to do. Yes, we should keep the commandments. Yes, we should live holy and righteous lives. Actually, we're also commanded to do the miraculous. And that's why we say, Lord, have mercy. I didn't do any miracles today. Lord, have mercy. I didn't see anybody healed today. Lord, have mercy. Something didn't happen today that was a sign and wonder that pointed people in the direction of God. Lord, have mercy on me. But tomorrow... Awesome stuff. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need to finish. But you can't finish the message on healing and not pray for healing, so we'll do that. We'll kind of finish the meeting as well, so those of you that don't want to stay can go and grab your cup of tea or coffee in the restaurant downstairs. But anybody that would like prayer this morning? You can come forward. I'm going to ask Ron and Brian to come and pray with everybody today. These two men have a powerful healing anointing on them. I don't know if you know. There are others, but these two I've just seen it in operation and watched and discerned. He's a bit scary when he prays for you. You feel the presence of God come on you, isn't it? He just prayed for me in the restaurant downstairs. He's like, whoa. But it's all him. Yeah. It's all God. It's all Jesus. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.